This ain't my business, but I just know about it.
Yeah.
I know you have to.
I'll rise for the new national anthem of this great United States.
Yeah. I'ma come pull up on you, jacking me a lot of
time. That's the new national anthem.
We back.
There you go. People love it.
That's the new national anthem, baby. Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to write shit. We moved a video on this show today. I want to write shit in this video. With
a
hip-hop generation
here. Oh, yeah, baby. We got Big Mike. We got Big Mike in here with us today, man. We back again, baby. Yeah, yeah. They say 50 Cent in the city.
I don't know. I thought he had...
Oh, he gone? Oh, that's what they said. 50 was in the city.
You weren't looking for
him. Man, 50 had Top Dog down here.
Yeah, Top Dog down here. But anyway, we got Mike here today.
Top Dog.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said that's who they calling Top Dog.
You know what I'm talking about?
Young Boy.
Nah.
Hey.
Not that Top. That's a different type of
Top. Man, we back, man. Just for a split second, though. Ooh. Yes, yeah, man. What's up, man? We back, man. We back again, man. Want to welcome y'all to That Ain't My Business.
But let's talk about it.
And, man, this your boy, man. FT of Ugly Man, the myth, the legend, the voice of this here great ratchet city. You heard me. Tell me who you are.
This your boy, Nesto the Don, back again, my friend.
Yes, sir. It's your boy, Rob Bruchon, Pac-Man, the hood's voice box.
You heard me. And today, we got us with us a special guest. We got the homie, Michael Williams. City Councilman. Whatever you want to call it.
Cattle Commissioner.
Yeah, Cattle Commissioner.
Yeah. Yes, Ms. Mike. So, Michael Williams, can you kind of give us like a background on the positions you held and things of that sort?
Well, let me just say I'm humbled to be invited to such a distinguished group of young men in our city. I come from humble beginning. I grew up in the Lakeside Islanddale community. I'm a lifelong resident of that area. I grew up with my mother. Raised six children. One of my sisters deceased. She went to Booker T. Washington High School. I went to all the elementaries, all the schools in the Lakeside Island. I went from West Shreveport, J.S. Clark to Booker T. Washington. Graduated with honors from Booker T. Washington, the top 20 graduate. Went on in the military at 17 years old. Bought my mother her first car at 18 years old. I had to grow up early, you know, and provide for my family. And went on to become a Shreveport fireman at 20 years old. Won Firefighter Year for the state of Louisiana, first black to ever win it. Upon my foregoing my time on the fire department, I attended Southern University, studied public administration and business administration. I became elected to the county commission in 1991. I was the youngest at first. I was humbled by Miss Eddie Jones, who was the Mother Teresa of Shreveport.
The Eddie Jones that was on West Shreveport
Eddie
School?
Eddie Jones was a cook. And we helped, was very instrumental, myself and other named the school after Ms. Eddie Jones, when others were saying she was just a cook. Why would you name a school after Ms. Eddie Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Eddie Jones fed many people just as Jesus Christ did. Ms. Eddie Jones also has a daycare center. The daycare center for Lakeside was in a doghouse, an animal shelter on Kings Highway. And the commission, we saw fit to put $1 million facility over there in the Lakeside where our young mothers can have child care. Right there in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So, and then I was blessed to be president of the commission at 37 years old. I've been on national and statewide board on juvenile justice committee. I also have three lovely children. I have three, one is deceased. Micah Jr. Williams and Mario Williams and my daughter named Shamonica right out of the Detroit heart of Queensburg.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end time, I could talk about me a lot, but I can't really listen and learn from you guys on. And also, I became a cattle commissioner, vice president of the commission, been on national boards, state boards, city boards. I had the first gang troops ever in Cattle Parish here with the Bloods and the
We're gonna go into some of those things. You know what I'm saying? So we can get a particulars of certain things. But what brought you here today? Like, what's going on in your life? You know what brought you here?
If you see the dynamic makeup of our city in terms of how our community been neglected for so many years. And we're no better off than we've been off in the last 40 years under no administration, Democrats or Republicans. If you drive through the urban America, you see how, look, look like a third world country.
Yeah.
And oftentimes Jesus wouldn't walk on the road. They're so messed up. and we have to be able to be engaging in leaders that are compassionate about the bottoms of the little people, the people that are overlooked every day in our community and judge because you're black or you're poor or you live in a certain neighborhood or zip code. Oftentimes you're looked over. When the money designed to come here come from money that come to the city, it bypasses the inner loop and go out to the outer loop. Mm-hmm. So I'm passionate about people being overlooked, the underdog. And black people, we've been underdog all our lives. And now that we do have the power to be inclusive, there are too many cliques and clout chasers, too many people that are the elitists. There are same old people getting the same old jobs and same old position. They're paying medical chairs with appointments and boards, and people look like you and me are never on those boards. We're not in the clique, or we're not in the circle.
Yeah, because we need a shout out on the
board. People care more about power than they do the people.
Mm.
And they put in politics and party over people. And we have to understand that we have to be inclusive. Paradigm shift of a bottoms-up movement of young black men, millennials, and baby zoomers and boomers working together for what is good for Shreveport. If you're not in the know on what's going on, you would never know. And oftentimes, you don't have that opportunity to know about all the resources that are designed and dedicated to come because the people that represent you are really not breaking down the role of what a city councilman, a commissioner, a school board should do with a budget. We got $1.9 billion that flow through this community on the public side. Now, I can't tell you how many millions and billion dollars flow on the private side.
Yeah.
But I do know, do we have too much corporate welfare? More of the same. Good old boys are not just white. They're black, too.
Mm.
Good old boys, everybody that look like you ain't for you.
Mm. Yeah, true.
Got quit voting for our cousin and because we know them and because we friend and they popular. So we have to get people that, like myself, that's compassionate, who have a desire to maybe run for mayor one day. I'm contemplating getting a feasibility committee together, exploratory committee to see if it's feasible by gauging the pulse of the people, what type of leadership you want.
Okay, so, you know, a lot of people are, and like I say, well, this kind of where Nicholson messed up the most, he was scared to even engage our community. And a lot of people, you know, when it's time to vote, it seemed like the young demographic and the poor demographics are ignored, and they don't realize, you know, it's more people that don't vote than it is that do vote. So you can, that's a big market and a big base for you to actually grab a lot of votes, but you got to engage the people.
Right.
So I want to thank you for coming on because, you know, like I say, it's a lot of people who been fearful to actually come in the community, but they want the community vote,
right.
You know. But going along with that, I want to start, I guess I'll start here. I think, well, the first time I seen you, it wasn't on the radio show. It actually was like out, I think, in Cedar Grove or something like that,
right.
at some apartments when something was going down. But, you know, the personality that I really got to know you from was the Keeping It Real radio show.
Right.
And I just want to know, like, what's, like, because I know y'all had a departure, however it was. Like, what was going on with it to where, to what reason are you still on the Keeping It Real radio show? Like, are you or are you not? And well, then what's the reason?
Well, I am an extended arm of the Keeping It Real radio because I want to keep it real more in the pulpit because I am a minister and they was going in another direction that I didn't want to be a part of. And I thought it was a good break. However, to focus on something that I feel real good about, and I like talking about positives. And I'm a man of solution, not excuses. And I don't want to get on no type of show to get ratings if I don't feel comfortable doing it. So there's a niche for everybody, and everybody has an audience. And my audience want to be more of an adult, upscale, going on what's going on in politics and the pulpit. So there is an arm length. I love Alvin and Luster. We're great friends, and if they need me today, I'll be there for them. So we have no animosity at all.
Okay. So you said you want to be there for the pulpit and a politician. Do that go together?
Well, now it has because they changed the dynamics of politics. More politics is in church now than it ever been.
Mm-hmm.
We got more nationalism, and that's the focus on the power, not the people. You got the white evangelical movement are now using politics as a way to get people in office. If you look at Donald Trump and the Republican Party, they don't care nothing about poor people. They don't care nothing especially about black folks. You got white trailer trash. They think they more than you and you could be more educated. That's how powerful they've been gained because of what the Republican Donald Trump candidate for president is making them feel powerful because he's saying things they want to say. There are over almost 400 million people that live in the United States of America. There are only 14.1% of black people and 19% of brown. The rest of the people are white. So the majority of people voted for him were like 70 million people. 70 million people with his policies, right? And with his policies on criminal justice reform, his policies on economic development, affirmative action, and set-aside program, the policies on immigration. And they want to send us back next. So we got to be very careful because there are consequences for not voting. They're voting matters because they're consequences. Whoever controls the goal make the rule. And the policy may be against your policy. For a juvenile crime policy where they want to lock up young teenage boys in Angola today because of an extreme Republican Party down in Baton Rouge right now. You got a majority control Senate and House and the Attorney General and the governor. Because what? Now they control. Ain't nothing we can do because we don't have the votes. At least say something if you know you're going to lose. Say something. So, yes, I believe that we have an opportunity here in Shreveport on the local soil. As you said, young vote does, hip-hop vote does matter. And people, are you afraid to come and sit down with the people? Why are you asking for their vote then? Because you got to come amongst the people to understand the people. If you haven't been a blood or gang member or a crip and been in prison or been on welfare, been on crack, or been on job, or been homeless, or kicked out those, or been profiled and had drugs put on you or trapped on you, you've been wrongly convicted of a crime and went to prison, you something, dude, you don't know what that feel like.
Or being a crack baby.
You don't know what it feel like. How can you come up with a solution if you've never been part of the problem?
So let me ask. Let me ask then, because I'm going to touch on something you said. When you say you're wrongly, have you ever been wrongly convicted?
Yeah.
Can you, because a lot of times when people talk about you and you know with this mayoral race and things like that that's coming up, you know what the attack's going to be. You right. already know. Right. So can you run us through what happened with that case and, you know, what people may not understand or maybe they do understand, because I'm not even familiar really with it. I just know that people always like to throw that out there when your name come up. So what happened with that?
Well, I can't change the way people feel. People love bad news, and I'm probably doing more great things than what they say is bad. But when you're one of those elected officials that go against injustice, you got to be willing to lose your job, go to jail, or die. Politics is not to be cute and posturing for the cameras of the media. We had a racist sheriff, Prater. We had a Jim Crow sheriff that had an iron glove and ran the sheriff department with an iron fist. And when you come against the policies of the sheriff and he doing things that locking up more black people than he do white, you will have some opposition. And I was one of the only voices because I had a program that took money from the Criminal Justice Fund, $300,000, a program called Swag Nation. Because I wanted to invest into our young black boy they were putting in juvenile prison, had one of the most successful races in America, won the National Achievement Award. I was on Barack Obama, my brother's keeper, as the point person for Caddo Parish. So there was a budget. Ebio Motors with General Motors, we wanted to bring back a car, a three-wheeled car. And we voted on an issue to give $7.5 million. And we had a commissioner named Commissioner Escadet that went out there and voted on and went and got a job, which is malfeasance in office. You can't do that. You can't vote on something, then go get a job. So I would bring that up for what was going on. I would bring that out is he need to be indicted for what he's doing that's wrong. So they manufactured, when I decided I wanted to run for mayor 8 years ago, they came up with a $2,000, say I wire fraud. The Caddo Parish Commission did not testify against me, said they lost anything. The board of directors of Swag Nation had a press conference say, we didn't file any charges. So where did these charges come from? The DA at the time would not accept the charge because they were frivolous. But when they want you out of office, brother, they can manufacture and Mr. Casarize the fact and bully and intimidate people to lie on you. just to win the case.
Ooh-wee.
So there was no, when I appealed my case to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal, their system, their government, there was no victims. They gave me back all the money that they say I took. Now, they say I took $2,000, but they gave me back $12,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me in America, brothers, where there's a victimless crime when you credit card fraud. I put the money up to get it started, my own resources. I called the attorney general and said, can I be reimbursed? He said, you could be reimbursed, but you can't be paid. It wasn't a grant. We was a professional organization to provide service. So guess what, brothers? I had to pay my money first before I had to send it for an invoice. They didn't give me the money up front. I did the work first.
Mm-hmm.
I sent you an invoice, checked off accountability that everything was done right, and they paid us. How in the hell is that a crime? When you're doing a professional service, you have to send an invoice in to be paid for what you've done.
So do you think, like, maybe it was just like a misunderstanding, or do you feel like it was a what you call like a basically like they framed you? Yeah.
Well, I could say I would target it. I would profile because I wanted to run for mayor then. I was going to make Shreveport great. By allowing the people at the bottom to be inclusive, to ensure that the resources and the money and the initiative that was designed to come, I'm going to make sure that happened for us.
Mm-hmm.
I was the voice of the people. And there are not many politicians who wouldn't have put their life on the line for the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why a lot of people quiet, because Sherry Prater back then had a black book on preachers and politicians that mess with little girls and little boys and misappropriating fun. And he would allow them to get away and hush money and be quiet.
No diddy.
But I didn't know what it's like to be scared of the sheriff. Everybody said, Mike, you supposed to be scared of. I ain't scared of no man but God. Ain't no man on this earth I'm scared of. I don't know what that means. I'm from Lakeside.
You heard me? Yeah.
We don't know what it's like to be scared of a man. You know?
Just know what that's like.
I'm just saying. I don't know you supposed to be in public intimidated and bullied by a white man because he's a sheriff. But when you wrong, sheriff. When you right, I stand up with you. Mm-hmm. But when you wrong, I'm going to come against you.
So look, I was seeing, I guess he's supposed to be like a newspaper writer or something like that, but I know he's a disgraced lawyer, and they, I believe they found him convicted for soliciting a prostitute. I heard somewhere in the grapevine that the prostitute may have been male, allegedly. That's just what I heard. I'm not sure.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Right. So that's what I heard, allegedly, right?
No. That ain't my business.
John Settle.
You talking about the dude that's messing up the good inquisitor payment.
Yeah, John Settle. I seen him come on Keeping It Real Radio, and he was saying, you know, that a lot of us are mad at him because he put facts out there. And I know a lot of people from when he called Tabitha Taylor Tar Baby, and, you know, and I seen like pieces he put out on Breaker Peoples and various people. And a lot of people say that John Cell only talk about black people.
Real talk.
So I went to look, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm trying to find something. Maybe he got something to say about, like, Grayson Butcher, a snake, or either, you know, maybe Taylor Farrell, or maybe, you know, Nicholson or somebody, yeah. You know, just anybody. And I couldn't find nothing. So is it, in your opinion, what do you believe John Settle is set to do with his position as the official journal of the sheriff's office? And do you believe he deserves to keep that contract or that title, like,
well, no,
position?
No. I think he was designed, that paper was designed to put a hit on our black elected official and our people, to bring out all the pain and suffering. And they haven't been found victim of anything. You haven't been found convicted. You're innocent to proven guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But in that paper, you're guilty. Because all the time when you try to go to work, you're fired because they saw you in the inquisitor on your job. So your reputation name been tore, whether you go to trial or anything, you already been judged by the people because you've been an inquisitor.
Mm-hmm.
It would target and profile black people for the purpose to bring down our people. That's what that paper designed to do. So, yes, you're right. And we should have a counter paper, Black Revenger or something, because he get off on writing about our misery and pain and suffering. And a lot of time it's not true.
And his role is to target and bring down black preachers, black politicians, black leaders, black young men. And that paper gave him the official journal, because that's the only official journal. He was using public dollars, mm-hmm. public money, your mm-hmm. tax dollars, mm-hmm. to be able to do what he was doing. And the sheriff approved of that. Mm-hmm. I hope and pray that Whiteham quickly remove that paper and give it to another paper that would be fair and impartial. That's what we need, impartial writing, impartial justice. If you're going to write about black folk, well, write about white folk. Mm-hmm. If black folk don't want doing crime, white folk don't do crime. Mm-hmm. White folk make a call downtown. They cheering never enter the paper. Mm-hmm. They never get on paper. So they probably doing more crime than nothing, but it just never get reported.
I thought somebody else had owned that paper first. Didn't he buy it from somebody?
I think it was Lawler's at one point.
Yeah, somebody else had owned
it. Wasn't the Mouton who had it first?
The Lawlers, I believe, had it.
Oh.
Because everybody used to bring us a lot of entertainment.
And a lot of people, politicians and preachers, are intimidated by the Lawlers and that paper. And they bully a lot of people. But here again, I'm from Lakeside. I don't know what it's like.
I did hear that. They had some gangster in them.
Yeah, they're a little gangster.
Yeah. I did hear that. I ain't capping. I did hear that.
That real talk.
But look, so with this show here, like, you know, we have all different type of people on. We might have rappers, you might have businessmen, you know, barbers,
ex-drug addicts,
politicians, you know,
all that.
All different type of people come on, right?
Right.
But what we like to do is, especially for our politicians, we might like to make it a safe place for our politicians to come and, you know, express their side, because a lot of times, especially in Shreveport, it's only like it. I don't know who is our inquisitor. Right. I don't know who is our kill radio.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, we only have...
Well, ain't that what Timmy Lane doing? That's kind of like the digital...
That's not
like,
what Timmy Lane
I'm
doing.
Saying he posts people, they go to jail, he posts like... And people have... They family come over there telling their side of the story up under it. So it's like something like an inquisitor.
Timmy Lane is... Nah, it's not like inquisitor. Timmy Lane's more like a KSLA. He just
I'm saying, but he post. I'm saying, far as digital wise, because you know media changes, and that's what it has changed to. Him and Lil Bozer. Mm-hmm. They post when people get arrested. Sometimes they.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but okay. In that aspect, I
because to be real, the inquisitor ain't gonna be around much longer.
Nah, it's not. It's finna. It's finna go away.
Oh, the only thing keeping alive probably is the people in jail.
What's keeping it alive is we had Sheriff Prater. It's the official journal of the sheriff's office.
Bro, I don't know, but so I'm convinced he's buying that paper. But that's how
you got. You know, this is why what you understand.
Yeah,
it get public dollars. Yeah. Even if nobody bought it, it's not gonna fail.
People in jails and other states buying that paper, but
even if they didn't, it wouldn't fail. It's the official journal.
That's how they get their pen pals.
The sheriff's office. But this is what I'm saying.
Well, can I inject this real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
See, we have to have somebody like you guys to help shape the narrative. You know.
Yeah, that's what I was...
They have a way, the media has a way of the narrative, because they shape the mindset of people. We got to have people like you guys. And we don't have our Shreveport Sun used to be the voice, but we don't have a voice. We hope you guys, and Keeping It Real, can be the voice of the black news and be able to counter the narrative and shape the narrative and the mindset of our people so we get another perspective.
Can I say something right quick, Mike?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
I don't like these niggas. I'm dead serious. Let me tell you something. I think some niggas, some niggas need to be racist against. Don't if that's a what? Word.
They need to be what?
Racist against.
Go ahead.
Man, these niggas is crazy out here. I'm like, for real, man, these niggas don't have no control. Okay, let's put it like this. All right, we're going to go back on what you said when you said Prater got a black book on politicians and preachers and all that. To be honest, the way that the world is now and the way that the black community is now, nigga, like, fuck them preachers. And no disrespect to whatever you believe in, because they don't even come out in the community no more.
Right.
Like the church don't even come out. Well,
the white churches do.
Yeah, the white churches do.
The black ones don't though.
But look, I'm gonna tell you the thing about it. Why the preachers matter is because voters go to church.
Yeah.
Voters go to church. A lot of people that
that's like, fuck them preachers, ain't voters.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Like you ain't voting.
No. Listen. We talk about black people need to stand together and be together, but we don't never call shit out. Man, say, dog, I'm just calling a spade a fucking spade.
Right. You went to the city council meeting and called some out?
Nah, I don't give a fuck. I got three
feelings. That's where you go to council.
But nah,
they don't thought I was going up.
But listen, what I'm but okay. Yeah. But like when I was younger, in the 90s and late 80s, and in the 90s, every church in Lakeside came out in the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. The churches, like, they like, even if we didn't want to go to church, they made it appealing to us to come to church and fellowship. You know what I'm saying? And and they was in it. If some fucked up happened in the community, yeah, the pastor at Galilee was there. Right. The pastor at Mount Canaan, Magnolia, they was there.
Real talk.
I'm like, I'm dead serious. These days, the church, like, like all over the United States, like say a white police go kill a nigga. Mm-hmm. Creflo Dollar Church ain't out there standing on business. See what I'm saying? I like dead ass serious. A lot of politicians don't go out there and stand on business when shit like that happens.
Real talk.
You know what I'm saying?
But they might feel like this. Where y'all at on Sunday? You want us to come out there, but you ain't coming here on Sunday. Where y'all at?
But the thing is, but you selling me salvation. Mm. You selling me salvation, right? Which is really free. You selling me salvation. Yeah. The politicians, you selling me a dream. This is why a lot of people don't vote, because I'm going to be real with you. Like, this just is from what I've learned. Voting for the president is in a different tax bracket. It doesn't matter who's the fucking president. You have to start on your local level first.
I agree with that.
Like that's a total different tax bracket, because
I don't know about tax bracket.
Yeah, no, what I mean by tax bracket, because the majority decides who becomes the president anyway, right?
Nah.
No, not the majority, the electoral votes,
Electoral college.
Okay. When you even with politicians, is just like the dope game in the streets, okay? We gonna put you here, but when we put you here, you got to give all us something. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's where the contributions come in there, right?
That's real talk.
Like, that's real talk.
Well, Cuomo.
Hmm?
Cuomo, yeah?
Yeah, it's just like the streets, but it's hard for us out here in the streets to say, well, nigga, we trust you. You know what I'm saying?
But this is where we as a community are failing. It ain't about trust. It's about you getting your ass involved.
Hold on. Every nigga in they mammy, niggas who was convicted failure, didn't even know they could vote. Every nigga in they mammy ran to go vote for Barack Obama, my guy. And do you not know how many black niggas got killed by the police the same year?
Yeah, you talking about, you just said presidency.
It doesn't matter, but I'm just saying.
But you still saying,
go out and vote
locally. The bond today that we was voting on, that's local politics. Okay. That got to do with your local thing.
Okay.
When I told y'all to go out for the sheriff, that was for local politics. And you hear me talk about council members, I'm talking about local. When I'm talking mayor, I'm talking local. State representatives, but it's close to local.
Yeah.
You don't hear me talking about, I don't even talk about the presidency no more.
On that Obama stuff though, why did y'all vote for Obama?
Because he was black.
So y'all ain't vote for him because of nothing that he had going.
I didn't even know the nigga.
He didn't tell y'all he was gonna stop police from killing y'all.
Hell nah, I ain't even know the nigga.
So he actually ain't do nothing wrong.
I was using the president as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Like basically as an example, because me personally, over the 400 years niggas done been in America, from John Hanson, which was the first president of the United States. John Hanson was. It was George Washington, half brother. He was half black. He was a Moor. We get in there later. But from the first president up to the president now, no matter how much a nigga vote, no matter what we vote for, it don't fucking matter if niggas, if black people, not nobody else, not no Mexican, no Indian, no white person, no nothing. Black people, if black people can't sit down at a table and agree to disagree and put their minds together to develop our own, period. Until we could do that, It don't matter who we vote for, because at the end of the day, it's going to be a nigga that could be bought by them.
Say, Shorty, you that nigga that's going to be bought.
I'm dead serious, bro. Let's just be perfectly fucking honest. We done had some black people, man, in positions of power. I'm talking about from federal down to local. I'm talking about from general.
Let's stick with local, though, because when you go too high, then it's the conversation too complex. And like,
No, it's never too complex. Maybe you want to know why?
I can get into it, but then it's going to be like, it's going to be too much. So let's talk about stuff that we can concretely change fast.
Yeah.
Don't look at it as me like thinking big. I'm just using it as a, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's the thing. Even in Shreveport, bro, like even since I've been doing this with you and I done been around a couple people, like even before this, being around some of my constituents that take me around, you know.
Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? They take me around, you know, certain people, you know. And I'm wondering why they got me in a room with these people. And they was like, because you intelligent as hell. I'm like, yeah, that's what I told them. You lying. But it's black people in position of power that they so high on trying to get there that they don't give a flying fuck about this. They saying they do.
Telling the truth.
But they don't give a flying fuck
about this. I agree. Yeah. It is, but I would say this. What are you? And I'm not just talking about you.
Yeah, I'm just
saying you in general. What are you doing to make yourself in a position of value for them to care?
Like, now, why should I care if you don't care?
Who don't? I'm talking about...
I'm saying the people in power, why should they care if the people that want them to kill don't care about their damn self?
Okay, that's what I'm saying. It starts with us.
Let me just say to you, Young, when politicians feel like they have no value for you, you're not voting. The only democracy that we have is voting in the voting box, not the voting block. In order to change the narrative, and a lot of our politicians are bought. They're bought and paid for. So when you don't have your own money, your own resources, you don't have your own job, you're going to sell out to people a lot. We do have a lot of sellout Negroes in elected position in the pulpit and politics. They're only in for their self-interest. They don't care about the people. They more care about the power, the prosperity, and not about the people. They putting party and prosperity and power over the people. That's why you see a cycle of the same old thing. Because here again, they playing musical chairs, same old people getting the same old position, same old policy, because the people that need to vote don't vote. Remember, those that control the gold make the rule. If you ain't got people that look like you, think like you, that come from amongst you, as I said earlier, to craft and create policy and initiatives together, you're not going to ever get nothing for yourself. Because the people that are there are mostly educated, teachers, doctors, lawyers, firefighters, people that understand the power of the voting democracy. That's been a voter apathy for too long.
Mm-hmm.
Now we must rise up a nation of new voters, unlikely voters that haven't voted in the last 5-4 elections. Now y'all got the power. Because you understand the power of the vote, that is the equalizer in America for economic and education and opportunity. It's your vote. As you said, when you come out of prison at a certain point in time, you on paper, you can vote. And 5,000 former convicted felon with 5,000 family brothers and sisters, that's 25 or 30,000 people, can get any local politician's attention. Mm-hmm. No matter what kind of money.
If you got a vote block.
You got voting blocks. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Y'all got power. Millennials, listen to me. You got power. You may not have the money, but you got voting.
I'm not a millennial. I'm an 80s crack baby in the flesh.
But you're pretty sharp, though. You're pretty sharp.
I thought you was a baby boom.
All y'all pretty intelligent, because you wouldn't be able to articulate the power of voting, because voting has become a hypocrisy in a democracy. And so you got a lot of hypocrites, fake and phony people in there for themselves, for their special interest, for their people. When you go to try to divert money and power and everybody get a piece of the rock,
That's when you get killed. Martin Luther King.
Go to jail.
Yeah. Is it something?
So you want jail?
Is it to get money or get killed?
Which one?
So you want to sell out or go to jail or get killed?
But I'm gonna say this
to piggyback. Go ahead.
I'm gonna say this too, though, y'all. Like, this our first time too, though, that we had a majority black city council, and yeah. You know, the city council is who control the purse. So,
right.
Like, I feel like we be too hard on like, don't get me wrong, we got to hold them accountable. We got to hold them accountable. But we give them too much blame that they don't deserve. They weren't the ones in the majority running the show for most of our lives. And I can say that for your life, too, even with you being older than me.
I mean, this Louisiana, yeah, of course. Like,
most of our lives, we us black people, haven't had the majority. We just now, this is the first majority black city council. You see what I'm saying? So, and now, down that we got that, no disrespect to our current mayor, but he's Caucasian. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So, we've never had just all out black leadership.
Inside the city.
Right, inside the city. So, that's not reality. That's a myth that they perpetuate. Oh, you had black leader, but it really hasn't been that way ever.
Right.
That, like, okay, to piggyback what I'm saying off, what you said and what he said, like, me personally, I think that the reason they push, like, that voter suppression shit so much in the news and shit like that is to make you not want to vote.
Right.
I was always interested in politics since I was in school, politics and history. So I've always understood politics.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't understand politics. They don't understand, like, what goes on within politics. They look at the politicians and say, well, I like him, I don't like him, or he's racist, he's not racist, mm-hmm. but they don't actually know their agenda.
Amen.
Because they don't understand politics. Like, remember, like, last time I said, by the time I got to Booker T, that was the last year, but I was blessed to go to Atlanta and go to high school, but that was the last year they had civics and living law.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the same thing as if niggas was taught the law in high school, niggas wouldn't go to jail.
Well, neither y'all hear that, teachers?
So, like because...
I digress. I think they still go to jail.
No.
The white people that know the law, they still go to jail.
What it would have did was, it would have made black people more educated criminals, and the crimes that they commit, they won't commit them crimes, they'll commit white collar crimes. I'm just saying, we would have been on scamming. But now, like, like, we would have been new about the PPP loan. But now, like, we were not taught economics properly. We were not taught politics properly.
Well, when it comes to economics, you know, we ain't learned economics, but hell, our parents didn't know.
No economics. So
what we gonna learn it from?
This is helping me prove my point about the voting and shit. The shit trickles down. You said our parents didn't have economic skills. Well, my parents didn't have only economic skills that our parents...
You go too far, you're going to go into slavery.
but the only...
That's pretty good.
The only economic skills we learned is how to flip a pack and shoot dice. You see what I'm saying? Like dead serious. Like, that's not... That, like, so, no matter which way we go with it, it's still not going to be right until black people push, and I'm not saying this as no prejudice or nothing that, because Jews only fuck
with
Jews.
We're a majority black city. We should have majority of the wealth.
Yeah, so you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Until black people can sit down as a collective without any out, like, everybody else, y'all go over there.
Say, Pac-Man, he's saying we need to do what we be trying to get him to do, sit down as a collective with our, you know, people in our same field, but he don't be wanting to do that. Now you trying to tell the politicians to do what we be trying to get him to do.
Them not my constituents.
He wanna beef with everybody that's in our field.
Say, dog.
Instead of collectivizing
Let me tell you something. I'm beefing with now, nigga. I don't wake up
you
no nigga.
You beefing, but you don't want to.
No, I don't deal with certain people. Listen, understand this. I can sit down with a nigga and agree to disagree because I'm a grown ass man. So I can sit down and agree to, but I'm not gonna do it on your terms. Because if I do it on your terms, that might be the day that I really
act
the nigga.
But why does it matter who turns it on as long as we come to a conclusion?
So you basically saying you ain't sitting on no couch.
That's why a lot of these with the politics.
Listen,
reason we can't come to reason we can't get a lot of things solved, cause nobody wants to be that person that do it on that other person's terms. It's like when Greg Tall was running, he would say this a lot, you know, and I'm gonna be honest, I'm no fan of him. But he would say this a lot, and I agree with this. Y'all, he said, let's put our petty differences to the side. You know? Put our petty differences to the side.
Boy, I've been put my petty differences to the side. That's why That Ain't My Business was at the Big Fella show. I just didn't
You wasn't
go.
There.
You weren't there. What you talking
you
about?
Right no, there. You didn't.
But that was something me and him had just talked about. When I left out the building from voting, me and him had, he said, yeah, we're going to collab it like that. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm cool. I'm down with that.
But you weren't
there,
though.
You wasn't out there. Why didn't you come when MJ was on?
Why didn't I come when MJ was on? Because I have certain constituents, you know what I'm saying? Me and my people, they was like, you know what I'm saying? Me and MJ got to sit down and talk first. Like me and him.
That's my dude.
I love him, but we got to sit down and talk.
I had to get to a point where I had a lot of, you know, anger because of what I've seen growing up in the community. And I came to a point in growth where I had to work in the spirit of compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get all. Everybody ain't going to get everything, but everybody going to get something.
Mm-hmm.
In any negotiation, there are rules and regulations and the laws that we have to apply, abide by. We live in a democracy. We live in a constitution. We live in local governing, state government. At some point, even on the streets, there are rules. In jail, they're ruling their politics. In the home, they're ruling the politics. At some point, we got to sit down and say, it's a give and take. Now, what does this generation want from this government while we got all this black pop? We sure need some economics and wealth. We got more poverty than we have prosperity. Our city ain't no better than it's been. And now that we got the power, how much time we going to give them before we want change in our community? But we have some contract for jobs. Creating manufacturing jobs, giving people a second chance that have been in prison, that need a skill to pay the bills, okay? Giving young people that's in high school that are not going to college on their way to a pipeline to prison or hell or jail, need a skill when they come out.
A trade.
Need a trade, apprenticeship. You already know Ray Ray and Shanae ain't finna graduate from no college and no high school. Prepare them for the job of the future that based on the Department of Labor, what they're saying. Prepare them for the job to build back better and shovel job that pays a good salary. You can't do that with no $7.50 an hour. The national poverty rate, lose out of rank number two in poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we rank number one in correction and crime.
Mm-hmm.
So crime and poverty and drugs and no hope and alcohol and Middle Eastern selling drugs to us, selling hair, weed. They giving shots in our booty and our brain and everything. And we ain't own nothing. They own everything. We ain't nothing but commodity.
That's it. So let me ask, if you were to be elected the mayor or something, you got common people like me, Shouty, Ernesto right here, right? I got a question, like, give me like a percentage when it comes to boards, when it comes to contracts and things like that. What can common black people like us look for if you were to have an administration as far as like a piece of the pie?
Well, first of all, we have to represent the diversity of the city.
Yeah.
You know, Shreveport ain't just all white, all black, all brown. You got Asian, you got brown, you got Latino, you got all kinds. So we need to have a diversity.
Right. And let me say this, because I don't want to come off as how they try to paint me.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that there is a good portion of white people in this population in Shreveport, right? And I'm not saying they shouldn't get no slice of the pie. I'm just saying they've been hogging the pie for a long time.
Yeah.
And it's time for us to
get... It's time to make them white on the pie.
Let us to get the bigger portion. And they can drive down a couple miles to get...
We need to make...
We have a nigga pie.
Your nigga pie.
Let me just say, how do we carve out a niche without breaking any policies or laws or... First of all, the mayor is the head of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime anybody want to do business in the city, it ought to represent the diversity of the city. We ought to have a 60-40 split. We're 60, they get 40. Mm-hmm. We always play by their rules, so now we in power, we make the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Without breaking any open bid law. So whenever there's an opportunity for a contract to come across your desk as a mayor and there is no minority participation, don't sign it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sign it. If you don't sign it, that'll force the white contractor to go out and find a qualified minority to do the work. Mm-hmm. Why do we have to always do things by
choice?
That's
crazy.
Why can't we just do it by choice and not by force?
Mm-hmm.
Why we always got to be forced to do right? They're not going to do right.
Well, we asking evil people to do good things.
Do good things. That's why you have to have what? Policies. Mm. You got to. I wrote the. It's called the Economic Inclusion Initiative for Caddo Parish. It's another fancy word for the fair share, which should be the equal share. Mm. You can't make people be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And if you control the narrative of economic policies and a fair share policy, then you at the table to negotiate without breaking any laws or breaking any open bid laws or ordinance. So there is a open bid revised statute state of Louisiana where you can vote. They play on the word minority. Yeah, white women can be a minority.
Mm-hmm.
White
mm-hmm.
men use their wives to be the minority face of mm-hmm. their business. We kill another minority. We need to break it down and say black people,
mm-hmm.
not African American, black people. What's in it for black folks
mm-hmm.
before you give up your vote, before you give up your power, before anybody except Saul on this city? What can black people benefit from these jobs and opportunities? That's how you're able to open up opportunities, because you at the table negotiating, but you got to have somebody to understand and represent your value. Mm-hmm. You don't put people in office that understand you, you will never get nothing.
So the fair share had, so the fair share, what percentage do black people, 25%?
Yeah.
So how do you feel like Leon Willie is doing with it?
I think Leon has done only what he can in a Republican administration. I think so far he has done all he can. If the mayor take that leech off of him, allow him to go to every department head of public works that make sure they have procurement and contract. There's a certain amount of contract that each one can give up to $200,000 without even going before a bid. Mm-hmm. They don't have to. So you have to put people in place and send and hold them accountable and transparent to see how many people have you helped that look like me and you. The problem is a lot of times we don't have the infrastructure to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the bonding. We don't have the mm-hmm. capacity. But there are some lending institutions that allow you to, because you're black, first-time minority owned, but allow you to have a contract, have resources. You got to have a home equity line of credit to do something. You got to have creative financing, because all of us had some hardship with our credit, with our financing, COVID gave problem. You got to have people on the other side to understand your pain and suffering. You might have had some hardship. So be consistent, be fair, and allow us another opportunity and another chance to be able to invest into this project. Put myself in a position to be already ready for the job of the future when they do come.
Gotta be ready though, because look, I have seen a lot of people was saying like, well, why we ain't get that contract? I want that contract guy, you know what I'm saying? But is you gonna be able to pay that insurance, that $10,000 insurance that 50 guy? Is you gonna be able to fix the air conditioner if something go wrong in that building that 50 guy? Is you gonna be able to pay the light bill that come with that? Like, yeah, it's a if I give you this, are you even in a position to maintain, to sustain?
Well, I'm not going to say the word give when you win the bid.
Right.
You win the bid, and because you put in the bid, you got to perform. That's a performance in the bid. If you don't meet the requirement of the bid, you lose the bid. Because don't just try to low bid and you know you can't do the work, because there's a lot of change order that go in, because things are subject to change. They understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you win the bid, you got to be able to perform the work. You build a reputation. You good, you'll build a track record of being good work, not because you're black, because you're good at what you do. A lot of black folk don't give good work, but they say, just support them because they're black, but I'm getting bad business.
Yeah.
Support good black business. Because a lot of people that are in black business sometimes mess over black folks.
Like black
folk. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to give them a second chance. That's okay. But you expect good business, private or public, when you want something picking out, you prefer a black minority contract. But sometimes they take advantage of it. I just want good business, and I prefer doing business with my people. I'm not going to apologize for being in power. I don't apologize for, like he said, making sure that now that we are a chocolate city and we 60%, 60% should go to black folk. That's fair, and that's not imparted 40% to the white.
You know what I'm saying? Come on down to Chocolate City. You know I'm about to own it.
You got me thinking like Chocolate City.
You know I'm about to own it.
But I mean, like, I just think we're the new Chocolate City of the new South of Shreveport, and we should be proud of where we at, and we should be black and we proud, like James Brown said. There's no excuse to hold your head down because you're black. We got all this power. We've been crying and snotting to get to the promised land, and we'll be there. Don't wander in the wilderness for 40 more years.
Yeah.
That's create some prosperity, trickle down here at the bottom, though. Not up here. Make sure we get down here where the grassroots people there, where the everyday common people like you guys, and put you in an apprenticeship and a training program for air conditioning, for plumbing, for electrician, And those are the type of jobs that they're going to need. You're going to always need firemen, police, doctors, scientists, but we're going to always need these apprenticeship jobs. And that's what we need to do.
I feel like we've been throwing a whole bunch of softballs,
Right.
So I got to ask, because we, you know, you're preaching to the choir here pretty much, you know. So if to the white constituents, the white citizens in Shreveport, Louisiana, why should they vote for you?
Well, because I'm the type of person who believe in like-minded people. I don't always see race or party or creep or crate. I have a documented and demonstrated record of getting things done, going across party lines, working with Democrats and Republicans and making it real, Richard, how it benefits to help the black men in the community to reduce crime and create jobs and stimulate and grow the economy. If people are working, they can reduce crime. People feel good about themselves when they have resources, money in their pocket, food on their table, shoes on their feet, when they can provide for their family. We got to stop looking at race and party sometimes, because sometimes white people help us more than black people help us. Nobody's going to help the black community unless we help ourselves first. So I engage in partnering up with any white or black or Democrat, Republican, Independent, and let them know about the pain and how good it would be to ensure that we have good paying jobs and housing and affordable places where we can live and good paying job, good contract, and how it benefits if we're working. We will reduce crime. We will stimulate and grow the economy. People will buy more housing, feel good about themselves, go to church on Sunday. The safe will be street and do it all again on Monday. That's a lot of stuff we have in common. That has nothing to do with black or white. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with Democrat, Republican, or Independent. Everybody needs to have some income to have a good outcome. Everybody needs to be moved from welfare to workfare.
Mm-hmm.
And you got corporate welfare down there, and they've been sucking the city dry in the states. They got contracts.
Pause.
Ooh. No data.
Nah, go ahead.
Well, you got people been dying of sucking the city for contract, follow the money. Who been getting all the contract for the last 30, 40 years? They don't look like me and you.
They either white or Mexican.
So when you go in and say, we got to debunder these contracts, we got to be able to not allow them to continue more the same and business as usual. We got to go down and say to the contract and the general, by the way, sir, I'm the mayor of the city. We want to be able to be inclusive. We have a fair share plan. We want to be able to meet that. We want to seek it and meet it and go above 20. We don't need to be limited, stuck at 25. Mm-hmm. We need to be at 45.
You hear me?
If we can do the work and perform and have the infrastructure do it, and we need to be generals, not subcontractors.
Okay, I got another question. Because I was talking to some people this week, and you know, we got the bun going on, right? Yeah, and you got the streets and drains, you got water and sewers, and then you got police, fire, and public safety or whatever, and SPAR, basically.
Right.
I was talking, and they were saying that they wish that they could uncouple fire, police, and SPAR, because a lot of people, to my surprise, have a very distrust for the SPAR.
Right.
They say the lady Shelly. Right. They say she does not live down here. She lives in Texas, and that her care and concern for this city may be affected by that. I don't know. This is not the opinion of mine. I'm just telling you about the conversations that I had. If you were the mayor of this city, I want to ask first, what would you rate her job as far as her job approval in your eyes now?
Right.
And would you consider replacing her, or would you go down that same path?
No, I think you have to. It's hard for me to make an intelligent decision about something I never worked with or heard. We need to be able to push the mayor's agenda.
Mm-hmm.
If my agenda is not getting pushed in terms of being inclusive to make sure that the resources and the money that's designed to go to our neighbors not doing that, she's not doing a job. I think everybody that's not doing a job will be evaluated. If they're not doing what the mayor agenda is, they need to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to have more of the same. Mm-hmm. We need to change the conversations that people down there are friendly. You serve at the pleasure of the people, so you need to have a friendly, fresh attitude when people come. Don't look down on people. Don't have to be somebody important or special in for you to call them back from a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
You had to. I need to get the city council or the mayor to pick a call. Call people back, mm-hmm. because you got to provide good customer service to people. You in a job of serve. You don't like to serve, go do something else, because they're going to reflect diversity of the mayor. It trickled down from the top. Everybody gonna know my personality is to serve. And if you're not serving, I'm getting all these phone calls that you're neglecting people, not performing your job, you will be terminated. Right. Mm-hmm. I'd be like the Terminator Transformer.
Right. Right. Tom Dart.
Yeah.
But Tom Dart.
What you think?
Tom Dart, there are some people, I've been able to have a great relationship with everybody, being that I was a former cattle commissioner and I know many people down there now. Tom Dart and I have had some great relationships. Everybody's job would be evaluated because we don't need to have more of the same. If we want to be able to evaluate each one effectively, give them a chance. And if I push an agenda and say, this ain't getting done, you got to evaluate the effectiveness of anyone just on assume what people say. Because people said a lot of things about me and you in here that ain't true. Mm-hmm. But once you get to know the people, you find out they nothing like that. Mm-hmm. But they might have been lackadaisical because whoever is the mayor, mm-hmm. is the agenda of the mayor, and it reflected the verse of the entire administration, from the police to the fire chief to public work to CAO. Everybody pushing the mayor agenda. And if the mayor's agenda to have more of the same, same old contract, same that's what it's going to be. But if you get a new administration with new change of direction, rather than diversity, we having millennials on some of these boards, some of these appointments, some of these neighborhood committees, put you in a position where the money is flowing so you will know. You'll know how to get yourself in a position to receive the contract, how you be certified, bonded, institution, because you need to have information in order to have a qualification. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about being in the position, in the know. And a lot of our problem is because we're ignorant and we're not in the know, and people down there ain't going to just give you the information. So you have to be very inclusive, and you have to make a culture connection with the people that have been disconnected for so long. And you got to have trust in the person that you elect. And they need to come back and tell you where the bacon at. They need to come back and don't eat up all the bacon before we get to the neighborhood. Make sure that bacon is left where all of us eat. So I would be excited if I was chosen as mayor of the city, even considered to be the mayor. It would be a change of direction.
Yeah,
there would be no more business as usual because I come from amongst the people. And before I have a documented and demonstrated record already doing the thing that I'm already talking about.
Right.
So it'd just be like a transition from me from being a commissioner to being the mayor.
Word, because
y'all voted on the bond?
I was, when the vote was?
Well, let me explain. Can I explain the bond a little bit if you don't
mind? Okay, so I ain't, the day, what time?
Come on.
I think it's
right there. Shit.
Right now?
Yeah. Try to close it.
I can go on my phone to vote?
Fuck no.
But that's the thing with politics. Me personally, I think that the age limit of being a politician, I think they shouldn't let you be a politician after 60.
I ain't gonna make it then.
and I ain't talking about
go ahead.
All positions in politics.
Right.
Like certain positions because like
well, you talking about the positions that don't well it's not a set term.
Yeah.
Like sheriff.
Hell, nah, he need to be gone.
But I'm saying, like, well, they can keep running. You saying positions like
that?
Yeah,
because
you term limit, you're saying?
At 62, you shouldn't be able to run for not for office, for nothing, because that's when your brain started to go fucked up. But the reason I'm saying that, I think if more of the politicians were under 40 and under 30.
Right.
And I ain't talking about like just being city councilmen and commissioners. I'm talking about senators, all that. I think that our community would benefit more if more
they'll be less corruptible for sure.
Yeah.
Because they won't been and played this game of politics for so long.
You see what I'm saying? And not only that, like it'll be a better understanding between the people and the politicians if more were like younger than me or my age, like.
But there are some older people that, like Bernie Sanders, he older than a motherfucker. But I agree with him more than almost any other politician on that level. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because Bernie Sanders is real.
I would really hate to lose him as a politician. You see what I'm saying? That Whitehorn, we wouldn't have been able to get over that seat.
As far as Whitehorn go, you would prefer an elder in that position, like this, like, you know what I mean? Like,
so we just got to get you to go sit which seats that we gonna have the age limit and which ones we not.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you if you control the power age should matter because you can take a man out and take him in. A 20-year-old can win.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. 18, if he got the power, the block of the vote,
yeah,
and he get his people out more than the older people,
mm-hmm.
See, the older people ain't finna give up no power. You mm-hmm. gotta take power.
Yeah. Like,
nobody finna give up.
No, no. And what I'm saying is in reference to the way laws change, the way these presidents is writing certain shit into the Constitution for other races.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's
the
nothing for black.
The Constitution ain't been changed in a long time. So, but I get
that dude.
Not the Constitution.
Yeah. Oh, you said like state cuts? They do.
He working on that right there.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, a lot of laws that they changed is being passed through by old motherfuckers born in the 20s and 30s and shit. You see what I'm saying? I feel like if politics were more urban. I ain't talking about acting like you with young people on your vote while you going out on tour. I'm talking about actually urban creativity within.
I like that.
Urban. You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of these laws and shit, like, it's not for this day and age. It's not for this time. And they need to be changed.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, literally, you know what I mean? And I think, I just think, like,
you think they out of touch?
They out of touch because same thing with your boy, the president, the alien, the alien, the dude that's the president now.
Biden,
you say you fuck with the niggas, but I don't see Kamala Harris with you.
Man, I'm gonna tell you something.
I don't even fuck with her nigga.
This gonna piss a lot of people off, but this is true, man.
By Kamala Harris? She do a lot of niggas
by
up.
By the presidents of the United States, and they always be talking, oh, this president racist, this president. We have not had a president that wasn't racist, except for maybe Barack Obama.
Nah, he racist too. How he the only one that can't be racist?
And John Hanson.
I didn't say he couldn't be racist, but
he probably was the most racist
what
one.
What was his... Nah. All right. Put it like this. What example would you give of him being racist?
When he started singing that motherfucking Al Green. Why he ain't sang no Bon Jovi or something?
Like I said. Like I said, we had almost every president we had because it's innate. For one, they old as fuck. So they was probably raised by Klan members, quite literally.
That's right.
And then on top of that, like, you're going to have your prejudices, you know what I'm saying, growing up regardless.
Yeah.
So that's just the way I feel. Yeah. But I want to touch on this too, though, because I want to tell y'all this before we get it up out of here or anything. You remember we were talking about the bun, right?
Right.
So I was talking to somebody, and, you know, I put that shit out there about the bun, and they hit me up, so they talking to me, and they like, well, you know, we passed the first bun, right? We passed that bun in 2021, right? Well, not the first bun, but you know, we passed the bun in 2021. Sure. They were saying, well, you know, they only sold phase one of the bun. Because when you hear buns, it's stocks and buns. That's them the buns. They say they only sold phase one of the buns. It's two other phases that need to get sold. They said, but this administration is more than likely not going to sell the bun in order to hurt Adrian and the Democratic Party publicly. So it'll look like, okay, well, y'all passed this bun, but y'all didn't get the work done, right, to the public. Because the public don't know how buns work.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know how buns work until very recently. You see what I'm saying? So you pass the bun, then somebody got to buy the bun, and then, you know,
this one
from process go from there.
Well, can I explain?
Go ahead.
Louisiana has a revised statute of homestead exemption. Our homes in the black neighborhood are not 100,000. Most of them are maybe about under 70. So the homestead exemption is $75,000. You only pay $75,000 on a $100,000 home. You only go pay $25,000 worth of taxes on a $100,000 home. If you don't own it, you don't pay no homestead taxes at all in the black community. So actually, the people that have a $100,000 home and above or 90 are actually paying the taxes of the bond. Bonds are municipal. That's how they raise capital that goes to, I went to Wall Street and helped raise the bond. You get a Moody bond rating or AAA or A where you can bond and see how you can pay interest and pay the money back on the bond. So it's like any other bonds in the private sector. And City of Shreveport is a municipal corporation. They got to have money. And you made money on avalanche taxes and sale taxes and capital gain, and you made money on taxes and license. So you have to have bonds for a specific project. You don't have, you can't rededicate the bond. The money have to go specifically what it's designed to go for. This particular bond got $8 million coming in to a certain neighborhood for our water treatment plant. $8 million. We've been drinking lead-based water and green water and brown water for the last 40 years.
That's why we're retarded.
Hey, well, did they say we,
so,
in the
so we need
meth.
Number two is that was $30 million coming to the black community for reconstructed and roads and streets and bridges. How are we going to complement investment? We don't make an investment ourselves as a city. Mm-hmm. How are we going to tell Fortune 500 company to come invest in it and we won't invest? How are we going to tell 50 Cent we're going to complement what he do in terms of economic development and driving the economic train? And we got to get on the boost. And every neighborhood in the community need to get on the train on opportunity with 50 Cent and Amazon and the Riverboat and the infrastructure to be able to bring a class, world-class airport here, a world-class train system here. How are we going to be the next great city of the New South? We continue to have a crumbling infrastructure where Jesus won't walk on the road, and you need a horse and a buggy to walk on these roads. We have to make some significant investment in these infrastructure. Broadband to make sure our children got computers where they can go to the computer and go to the library. A lot of people don't have internet services and direct TV services. We have to make it affordable for poor people and underclass people that get welfare and WIC. They ought to be able to have some opportunity system, free things and pay and let the Fortune 500 pay for it. So bonds are good to fund specific municipal projects. We ain't got, most of the black urban community don't have to pay for them.
So you telling me this is our time. We can go make white people pay for some shit.
That's right.
Real talk. Damn right.
That's right. I'm telling you, you can benefit from the. We don't just need a park. We need to be not recreation. We need to get an occupation.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need incarceration. We need salvation.
You know what? I'm just finna start voting for the buzz just for the fuck of it.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah, you can't because it won't really cost. That's real talk. That's 100. Yeah.
Well, they're going to cost me my house worth more than they're going to cost me.
Yeah. That's my more reason for me to vote for it right there.
Yeah, real talk.
Yeah.
Google it. If you don't, just look it up. Look up bonds and just look up Louisiana homestead exemption. You can Google it from the state.
Yeah, I be seeing it. I be seeing that on my taxes.
Yeah.
But you know, I just keep going. Shit, fuck it.
Yeah.
Get what I get. I ain't got no dependence.
See that?
Yeah, he ain't
well,
lying.
You're smart.
Yeah, so yeah. I just say fuck it. I got a baby.
Okay, what's good?
Yeah, I just don't never get to carry his motherfucker. I don't want to deal with the arguments.
We need a law today. Us black men,
you know.
Us black men need better carry our children.
Say, hey, look, I got eight children. I had 5 W-2s. I ain't even filed my taxes. And I guess that's why my baby mama. I guess that's why my baby mama called me her favorite. Baby,
nevertheless, you running for mayor, like, you know what I'm saying? I can see that, man. And can I be your deputy mayor? Can I be your running mate? Because I think I need to be a politician because I'm a legalized pimping. Because how the fuck you gonna lock somebody else up for selling day shit?
That's real talk.
And I'm just being honest. You gonna lock me up for selling like my shit? This mine.
Selling
what the fuck?
Your bus.
What the kind of shit is that?
Well, you know,
no did it, dude.
So
you
know, they got that RICO law, you know, conspiracy.
They call it conspiracy.
They call it freako.
That's how they get you.
You wanna say I'm sex trafficking because I went to the next city to go sleep
that's
with
why,
this hoe.
That's why you got that Diddy picture up in your room.
What did it pitch?
That you got on your wall.
He be right there. I wouldn't even much no fan of Biggie Smalls. Nigga. I wouldn't even much no fan of Biggie. Nigga.
Me neither. I like Mace.
Nah,
Mace said fuck.
I wouldn't even much no fan of Mace. Fuck Mace. I ain't like Bad Boy, nigga. I'm down with Westside. Tupac. Nigga,
come around
talking.
Money
Tupac.
If you ever trying to find me.
Nah, you know what Tupac said.
They say Tupac don't have no freak outs too, but.
Take
a picture of the bathtub to a nigga with chains on.
People like me and Mayor Candy, Michael Williams here. Yeah. We about that money.
Yeah.
Gotta have money.
Say, man. say. Now, Tupac never have a different type of parties. I had to listen to a Suge Knight interview today. But now, though, I know you're a humble guy because when I was little, when we used to go to the Rick, go swimming and
I really appreciate it.
We every time we used to leave the Rick and we used to come around that curve, you'll be outside either watering the grass or something. Right. And we'd be like, Mike, let me get some water. And you'll give all us water, man. You know what I'm saying? You never denied, never turned, you know what I'm saying? And wow. And
what's the night he said he couldn't get no water. Water.
He was cutting the grass.
He said, why you won't give him no water?
Oh, God.
In Whitehorn's defense, Whitehorn said that he never met him, and you know, if he would have asked him for some water, he would have gave him some water.
Yeah. But I don't remember a lot. I hear people say a lot of things I've done, and I don't, you know, try to beat myself on the chest.
Yeah.
But you know, I was humble coming up because people remember what you did back then, and it comes back and haunts you in the future. Because now you are a leader now. Mm-hmm. What if I'd have done you wrong? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that says a lot. So I appreciate it.
Word.
Yeah, I know I got some women gonna bash me.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, they gonna bash me.
Why guilty. They gonna bash?
I did you wrong. You did me wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, I let go. But so, nah.
Yeah, so ahead. Before we wrap it up and get on up out of here, wanna appreciate you, man, for come sitting here at this platform, man. With us gentlemen and I ain't gonna say touching the community because you don't have to touch it because you've been in it for a long time.
What the fuck?
What?
I'm in with them, right? Yeah. Go ahead. Go
ahead. Say it again.
Don't worry about it.
That's my boy.
It's old school. OG.
Man, OG. OG. You wild.
But, hey, look, I ain't gonna. Because in today's society, everything you say, they try to toss it up. But what I was trying to say was, you're not sitting here trying to reach out and touch the community because you was already in it. See what I'm saying? Decent.
Tell your boys, man. They gonna do that.
Yeah, man. Yeah, but. Man, I would appreciate you for coming on this platform. And coming dealing with Motion City.
Big Motion.
They big Motion.
Fellas, ask him about this Motion City, Ratchet City, and which one does he prefer?
Motion?
What would you prefer this city to be called? Ratchet City or Motion City?
If I had to, if them were your
two choices.
Motion.
Yeah.
Because Ratchet, if you look up Urban Ratchet, what it stands for, it has a negativity to it.
Yeah. Can you explain it?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you later.
Okay.
If you Google it, you'll see what it really means.
Okay.
Urban and what it really means. Not a ratchet like this.
Mm-hmm.
It has a bad connotation that goes to that. So we need to call City in Motion on the move.
Mm-hmm. Well,
come move in with
it. Don't worry about it because this Motion City.
Yeah. I'm with Motion City.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. It's me and him was having this debate on social media, which I really don't like debating on social media, fucking period. Cause there's this never like, psh, who gives a fuck? Because personally to me, social media is not real life. That's just me, period.
Right.
You say the word, it means something bad, it got to go with it. But from where I'm from, when that culture was.
That culture, yeah.
When it was implicated, it wasn't implicated on nothing bad, period.
Disagree.
Yes, it was.
Everything about it was bad.
No.
It was drugs.
Hold on. Say. In Atlanta, you heard me?
Mm-hmm.
And I go to Atlanta a lot. Matter of fact, y'all catch me,
man. Did it come from here?
Hold on. Y'all make sure y'all catch me in Atlanta Mother Day weekend. I'm performing at the Sweet Auburn Fest, one of the biggest festivals in the United States.
Make sure you rap. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe.
Yeah, to the podcast. But no, what I'm saying is, it in Atlanta, they've been talking, they're saying that word for a long time now.
True.
And a lot of people, when they use that term, they use that word. When they say motion,
right?
They talking about getting high, getting in motion. You feel me? So different places, different terminology.
Gotcha.
Now, even though that drug, you say number drugs and all that shit. That yeah, true. Because when the ratchet ass cocos. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't a culture to provoke murder.
Yeah,
like
it is now,
killing and shit like that. But, you know what I'm saying? It was basically the ratchet was the lifestyle.
Let's say it didn't straight up like directly promote murder. Indirectly, it did. Because it promoted drug use.
Okay. Heavy drug use.
Underage drug use is always going to lead to the degradation of morals, and it's going to lead to of the family.
But see, hold on.
It's going to lead to the degradation of thinking past go. You're going to feel more likely to engage in a confrontation than you would with a sound mind. So anytime you promote not being in a sober and sound mind, mm-hmm. then you are promoting negativity. And when we're trying to get away from negativity, then that should be applauded and embraced.
Okay,
ratchet
boom.
Is just Hello. A celebration of negative behavior.
Okay, boom. Now, when a motherfucker say, nigga, you ain't got no motion, nigga. It could be a dope dealer telling another dope dealer he don't have motion. All right, let me finish. Hold on.
That's how ratchet people
talk. Hold on. I let you talk, so let me finish. Being around some of my constituents that are actually younger, whatever they do, they'll get on social media and tell that nigga, boy, you ain't got no motion. Boy, yeah, we stepped on whoop the whoop whoop. So
I've never heard that.
That's because my constituents ain't your constituents.
I disagree.
You're right.
That's no ratchet constituents.
No. That's because your constituents are not my constituents. And I'm not saying you wrong, okay? Period. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is when we were ratchet, we was going to party. You feel me?
Right.
It's just the culture of the party.
They're doing baby days.
Yeah, it's the culture of the party. Like Motion City, perfect for the city. Yeah, like, Quay, I don't give a fuck. And to be perfectly honest, I don't give a fuck what you call it. Like, dead ass serious. I don't care what you call the city. My thing is,
You want to hold on to ratchet.
You can't.
We don't want it.
No.
Ratchet jealous.
No. They don't. You can't say we don't want it. No, you can't say that. Like you,
the leaders of the city don't want it.
Okay, that's them. That's them. Listen,
wonder why we can't get progress because we're held in a negative light.
No. You're stuck in the past.
Hold on, let me finish. Let me finish.
Ratchet led a man to get. I'm finna let you finish. Then let me say this. Ratchet led a man to get life in prison. Why would we want to celebrate that lifestyle?
Go ahead. Ratchet didn't get him life in prison. A choice he made to sell drugs got him that life in prison. No.
It's the ratchet lifestyle.
Because the ratchet lifestyle is just not drugs, my guy.
No,
you
it's
not
more listening.
If I'm a murderer,
right, and I do more than murder, I'm not just murdering, I'm still living a murderous lifestyle. It's still going to lead to my downfall. So if you're living a ratchet lifestyle, that was part of what led to bad decision making that led him to getting a life sentence in prison. Thank God he was able to get out of that situation.
My nigga got big motion. He got 30. You see what I'm saying? Like
what are you talking
never
about?
Heard okay, that.
Can I just say that?
Never heard that.
But
lifestyle.
My boy had, that's what I'm saying. So
lifestyle can be contagious and contaminated.
It can be contagious.
Minds when they're understand that this ain't reality, you know, because a lot of hip-hop culture does have a lot of peer pressure influence on a generation. You set the culture, you know what I'm saying? So whatever it may be, ratchet or motion, they got people want to be ratchet, you got some point to be motion, but you got to understand the definition of what you're pushing. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand what you're pushing. What message are you sending?
Yeah.
You sending a culture killing message or you sending a cool swag? I mean, whatever it is.
Well, I'm going to tell you, when young people talk about motion,
right,
they're talking about money.
Well, that's what I want to talk about.
They're talking about making moves.
I want to
make moves. They're talking about making moves.
Let me be perfectly hip-hop clear. We going to get that bang?
Yeah.
That was
motion.
The ratchet people
talking
about that bad. They talking about another type of
bad.
Yeah.
Well, I just
want to
be making moves to put yourself in better positions.
That's motion. Yeah, ratchet people talking about a bad. They talking about another bad.
Because I know prostitutes that say they got big motion. You see what I'm saying?
Well, as long as they making money.
But hold on. You see what I'm saying? So it don't you got people that was doing ratchet shit making money. You see what I'm saying? So like, but listen, hold on. And let me say this, because I was gonna make a video and express myself on social media. You know what I thought about Pac-Man? Fuck social media, because I don't owe nobody an explanation. But I figured, you know what I'm saying? Because me and somebody was sitting down watching a podcast when me and you was on here debating. Look, ugly man don't give a flying fuck because motion ain't did shit for me and gave my cheer and shit.
You want to embrace it.
Be quiet.
You want to fight against it.
Pac-Man, let me talk.
Okay, go ahead.
Ratchet ain't took care of my cheer and ain't did shit for me. You feel me?
Right.
Like, no, but you neither has Motion. Ain't that one unpaid my child support?
Motion got us the most views on any video that we ever got.
What shit?
Okay.
Yeah.
Motion ain't got us the most views on any video.
It's a dude.
On YouTube right now.
Yes.
On YouTube right now.
Ratchet got us the least.
Yes.
Who?
Well, he's correct, my brother. You want me to pull up the analytics?
Pull up the analytics.
Okay, pull up the analytics.
Okay. Yeah, but what I'm saying is, I be around people. It ain't what you do, it's how you do it. Like, you can't. My whole thing is, don't just say, well, oh man, they ain't nothing but detriment.
Didn't you just say we gotta start calling people out on their shit?
Yeah, y'all wanna be real when it come to your friends.
When it come to your own people.
My friend, that double ADC, that's all the way down there.
Well, your Atlanta. Associates. Yeah, let's put it like
your
that.
Listen, there's RCEPTB, man. We do other things. It's just that I respect everything or every party, but don't tell the next man his shit ain't shit.
But what if it ain't shit? That's what we talking
don't
about.
Don't shit on the nigga.
Hold on. That's what we talking about.
Hold on. Like, don't shit like, on the nigga,
we,
man.
Okay, but when we... No, but it may not be shit. Like, just like
you
when
can't
we,
shit on the on. Nigga that actually opened up doors in this city, bro.
I'm not shitting on him by telling the truth
about... You
shitting
on the culture.
And what door have he opened?
Okay, no matter what you say or how you put it, far as the music scene, listen to me, far as the music scene.
Harry K, Chris, A Bay Bay got us there.
We like but that's part of that culture, my nigga.
Thank y'all for joining us this episode today. No. Let's talk about it.
I'm your boy, FTF Ugly Man.
We going to continue this on another episode.
I'm your boy, Nesco the
Dumb. This is my last time talking about this shit.
Yeah. We like to thank our special guests for coming.
Hey, Mike.
I'm paid, man.
I appreciate
voice,
you, man. Well, look, hey, man, this is what we do. We get on here and talk shit. Hey, man, y'all like, business. Share, subscribe. But we're going to talk about it, though.
And the men that own that paper, leave them bars alone. We're going to holler at y'all.
But you down bad,
boy. Yes, Lord, y'all.
This ain't my business, but I just know about it.